You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley-Davidson. Online at WirthHarleyDavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Hard-hitting questions coming out of yesterday. You know, I think one of them was whether or not the horns down is going to be 15-yard penalty in the SEC in the future. So I asked Commissioner Sankey in the hallway, and he gave me a strong rebuttal by saying no comment. So we'll see where that goes.
This the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yup, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow. Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
And now, a man who knows all the rules of Fight Club, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. That's why tonight you will fight, Curtis, because it's your first night.
It is. I don't want to fight.
I don't want to fight you. I will say that. You know, I mean, maybe if I get a chance with a bat behind you first when you don't know what's going, maybe then. Maybe. But that's still just a maybe. Not going to get too excited about it. Big program for you today. Does my breathing, can you, I got a clear passage.
Do you?
You know?
Nice.
You take a stick and you jam it up your nose and swing it around five times in each nostril.
It'll clear things out.
Yeah, get some things going there.
Could smell for days.
Took
things that happened an hour ago.
Literally took like 3 minutes.
Yeah, pretty easy.
Yeah, it was super easy. But I did feel compelled. Is this like I had to get up? If people don't know, they didn't hear it yesterday's show. Those of us that are covering the Chiefs all have to get a COVID test. Mm-hmm. And so I did a drive-through COVID test today. Literally took like 3 minutes. But am I a clown because I felt compelled to explain that I'm not sick? I don't think I have it. I'm not worried about having it. I have to do it for work reasons. And the lady is like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, we see enough of you guys. You're just another face.
She could give a crap less what you're up. Like, here's what you do. Just do it. Like, I don't need your life story, fat ass.
Global pandemic happening, sir. Don't care.
You know, last week.
I had that urge. I'm like, well, I want to let her know that, you know, I'm not, I don't think I'm dangerous. Yeah, she's on the other side of a glass partition, like in a bank, you know,
not even
coming out. They just send you the little thing. You do it yourself. You put it back in the little bag. You send it back over. But I still like, you know, I just so we're clear here on the record.
And the more you kept talking, she's like, I don't think you're dangerous, sir. I think you're insane. Just take the damn test and get out of here.
I mean, there's four people behind you. Could you pull forward?
And she was just like, just take the. And I was like, oh, yeah, that didn't. That wasn't necessary, was it? You don't really care.
You keep trying to get back in,
I'm thinking of you is what I'm saying. It's like,
sir, every word you say just lessens.
Hey,
worsens your situation.
There's a 107-year-old woman who needs her, you know, meds behind you, right? I don't know if you noticed. She's the one that's half in the drive-through lane and half in the bushes.
Can we
move this along so I could give her?
So we can pull her out of the bushes
and give her medicine. Or whatever it is she's up there to get. There's another guy who needs these blue pills. Do you see him? He seems to be in a hurry. Let's go.
I take a statin. I hope it's not just for 100-year-old people.
It's the only like regular medicine thing I could think of at that time. Sorry, so I had to go with it. For the young people, they don't know. That sounds official.
It's cholesterol medicine.
Tim Fitzgerald. Are you going to explain the whole joke? Do you want to break it? Do you want a diagram?
That was just like a thrown-in thing. Didn't need to be responded. Just kind of move on.
Okay. Just didn't know if it was going to continue.
It was no.
If you want, I can bring Jason in. He can break the whole thing down.
Sure.
Okay. Tim Fitzgerald from Go Power Cat will be with us. Never shy with the opinions.
No.
Tim Fitzgerald. And we'll get his thoughts on this OU Texas shenanigans that's going on. See what he thinks.
Big doings.
We'll play Stump the Chumps and get some bold and daring predictions with Peter Yates Enoch joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that. Blair Kirchhoff in the 4 o'clock hour. Much more on this Texas OU shenanigans.
He'll have some comments and some observations, and probably two or three historical references we hadn't thought of.
If the plan comes together in the 5 o'clock hour, Jeff Passan will be on site, mm-hmm. which will mean it'll be the first time he doesn't come to us from a milk jug.
Yes. It's been a while since Jeff's been in this building.
Does ESPN not throw around enough cheddar? He's the number one insider in one of the most historic sport in American history. Could you get him a real phone,
yes,
ESPN?
A real set of headphones.
When he's on the horn with Theo Epstein or Dayton Moore, does he sound like that kind of ass to them too?
I hope not.
And we'll find out. We'll ask Jeff.
Well, my idea was that he comes here, but sits in the control room and calls me on his phone. just to kind of
keep. He stays in his car.
Yeah,
so that we have the
front.
Bluetooth connection.
I like it being just in the other
room.
I
like that too.
Passing
in the hallway.
Passing. I've got a few tweets saying, why does, you know, Passing sounds exactly like you said, in a milk carton or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, I don't control his terrible phone. Yeah. And Passan apparently saw the tweet and texted me, I don't know why. It's just when I'm on with you guys. So I'll believe that when I disagree.
I disagree. I believe. Thank you. Excellent use of the phrase 15 style. I'll see it when I believe it. I think we're the only ones that have the stones to be like, dude, your phone sucks.
Yeah. Right.
I think everybody else is like, oh, we don't piss off Passan.
He's a nice man.
He's a big wig.
He's not a big
he's
wig.
A heavy hitter.
He's a pretty big wig.
He's pretty big.
I mean, if you ask him, he'll tell you.
No, I know that he thinks he's a really big deal, but if you get to know him, he's a nice man.
He is
he's
a good
not
guy.
Not a big
he's,
wig at all.
He's on a scale of niceness, though, he is nothing compared to his wife.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
My wife grew up like one block over from his wife, and my wife has stated she is the nicest woman on earth.
Be married to Passan.
I said she's
don't
charitable.
Doubt
I'll give you that. She's married to Passan.
That was me this time.
Was it you?
Yeah.
Looking around. I was convinced it was the kid.
Nah, it was me this
yesterday,
time.
And so I made a point to try to get him to turn his computer down, and it was me.
His gigantic laptop.
Yeah, it's Danny-esque, Danny style. The Danny 4000 he likes to rock. All right, a couple things to get started here. The NFL's new rule, you just heard it on the ESPN Sports Center there at the top of the hour. The NFL has said, and this is according to Tom Pelissero, that if they have to cancel a game, and if it's because of unvaccinated players, then the game will be a forfeiture by the team that has said players, and neither team will be paid.
Yep.
Will this help the process?
That's a mighty strong inducement for players to get vaccinated and for this not to happen, because the money thing is that's where you start the in the locker room pressure. Guys whose livelihoods are on the line each week and have been vaccinated. The Buffalo Bills locker room is going to be interesting.
It is.
Each week this season.
Because the most outspoken critic has been
Cole Beasley,
the Bills wide receiver. And he's pretty much said, hey, I'm the guy. Would he test positive? And a lot of people get their paycheck. They're basically putting peer pressure from the players that have been vaccinated to look at the ones who haven't and been like, listen.
I think it's a brilliant move.
I mean, think about it.
In that regard.
If you're Chris Jones and you've got a game check is $1.25 million?
Yeah, the big contract guys.
Do you want to cost Chris Jones $1.25 million?
I do not.
You know, or $1 million? I don't know what it is with signing bonuses and all that, but there are guys that you're costing them $1 million. And I don't care that they make 20. $1 million is enough.
Yeah.
You feel it.
You go up to any NFL player and ask him for $1 million.
And if they
ask
say no,
for,
it matters.
Ask him for $100.
Then
you know
matters.
$1 million matters.
So I do think that is, you know, somebody said to me that the direction that this is going to go is they're going to make the cost of not being vaccinated so prolific that people will say, all right, it's in my best interest to get this done. Not for medical reasons, not because I'm buying in, not for my political persuasion, but okay, you know, I think in Europe they've started, you can't go to concerts. They're like, the shows and everything are going to be vaccine required. You have to show proof of vaccination to go. That those are some of the things they're doing. If you get to a point that, like, hey, no event is you know, accessible unless you have, and if people are like, well, that's against the law. Really? Can you just join any country club you want? Because the answer is no.
No.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
So I think that is a massive step by the NFL to try to get everybody vaccinated. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with the college football side of things, too. We know Kirby Smart's urging all his players, but if they don't come up with some kind of formula that penalizes the team, they didn't say forfeit, but it sure sounds like forfeit's coming in the SEC if your team can't go.
Yep.
So, interesting where the NFL. The NFL says, listen, last year, vaccinations weren't available. So, we're all in it together. This year, they're available. Help yourself. And if you don't help yourself and you hurt us, you're going to pay. And so's everyone around you. So, let the cell block mentality or the army unit mentality come together. We're like, hey, you're going to bring the whole unit down. We're all going to be in harm's way.
Yeah.
Well, it's about the check.
And if you're a player who doesn't like those conditions, there's the door.
Yeah.
You can always go do something else.
Yeah.
But if you want to play professional football for us, this is what you have to do.
Yeah. You don't have to. Or still
run the
play.
Risk. Yeah. This is the situation you must accept.
You may not get paid, and you may be responsible for the entire team not getting paid. So, I think pretty interesting there. The biggest story in the country continues to be, and I think certainly here in the Midwest, and at least until we get camps up and running and either storylines coming from contracts or holdouts or injuries in camp. I know we had the Cam Akers, fantasy football players, took note that the Rams' number one running back has already lost probably for the year, but certainly from your fantasy league consideration. Until those start happening, Oklahoma, Texas is the biggest news out there. And now you just heard in the ESPN Sports Center that they are going to have a meeting. Big 12 folks are now saying, okay, we're going to get together and we're going to chat about this. My sense is that everybody in the Big 12 was completely blindsided by this. I think Bob Bowlsby was blindsided by it. I think all the other schools were blindsided by it. And I think here's my question that I have to start. And that is, are we looking at a situation where Texas and Oklahoma made a phone call just to see what's out there? Like, hey, what you know, would you have interest in if you did, what would we be getting? Right? Because I got to think Texas and Oklahoma aren't looking to go in and do this. Well, you'll get a 25% share of league revenue for this long and a 50% share for this long. They might because they say, well, it's going to kind of suck for 6 or 8 years. But the big picture is, we know now this isn't going to be where we stay. We've given it a good faith effort, and we want more, and we're ready to look for more. Is it just that? Is it just the first call? They've got some thoughts? Or is this like, no, we're on a 100-mile journey 40 miles down the road? What's your sense?
I would tend to lean toward probably the latter. I think they were looking to escape that situation. I believe the what we heard yesterday, I can't think who was said that they were looking to get out already, and SEC is just the place they most likely wanted to land.
Okay, but
I also would buy that if that doesn't land, they may not decide to jump, but they wanted to jump. Well, is this where we want to go? Can we go there?
I can see a scenario, though, where what they've done is word has got out that they reached out, and they also, it is their intention to say, we're not re-upping on the TV deal.
Yeah.
Now, is that we're not re-upping because we don't plan on being part of this TV deal, or is that, no, we're not re-upping because we're going to redo this whole landscape?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see a scenario where instead of dividing what they want, what Texas and Oklahoma are going to try to leverage is, we want, instead of dividing this pie 10 ways, we want to divide it 14, and we're taking three each.
Right.
You know, we're going to We're going to, instead of our taking 10% of the revenues, we're each taking 25. And you other eight schools can split up the 50.
Yeah.
I mean, that would give them 12.5%. Basically, we're taking double. We're the juice. We're what makes this thing go. If you don't have us, you don't have a league that's going to garner any kind of television revenue. It's Oklahoma and it's Texas that make this thing go. And so what this is to start lining up vines to swing to, destinations to land. If you put this semi-bluff out there and the other schools won't call it, you've got a place to extract to.
Yep.
Like, listen, this is how much money we can make in the SEC, and the SEC wants us. So we're going to make that much money or more here to stay. And you guys can take the scraps that are left. And maybe it's
not an equal partnership.
Yeah, maybe it's not double the money. Maybe they only need half again as much. But it does seem like what this is they want their real value, their real football value to the conference.
And based on the way it's being spoken about the last 24 hours, they're entitled to that. I mean, the minute that leaked out that was a possibility, what was everyone's narrative? What the hell is the Big 12 going to do without those two? So if they want to say we're the ones propping up this conference, what's happened since 2 o'clock yesterday would lead you to believe that's not a true statement.
What happens to the Big 12 if those two leave?
I think the comparison would be the way the Big East kind of continued but wasn't really the Big East like it used to be, not the 85, that they're still, the Big 12 still exists. They fill it in, but they aren't considered on par with anybody else anymore. I could see the thing existing, but it's just not what it was.
Do they merge with the AAC? Do they merge with the Mountain West? Do they try to strip the best of both?
Yeah, I think they try to.
And have this large, unruly four time zone conference?
Yes.
That has, you know, two divisions?
Yeah, I think they try to stay. They stay. They're a solo entity, but they try to, we got to replace, let's find the best two and continue to march on and just know that they're not going to be considered
because
one of the big boys anymore.
The AAC has brought in Wichita as a basketball-only member. Is that really where the Big 12 wants to go?
Probably not.
To have certain schools that are just basketball? Like, that doesn't
probably
sound
not.
Like where they want to be.
No.
Right? So I'm not convinced that OU and Texas are gone now, but I have said since the last conference realignment,
yep,
it is inevitable the Big 12 will not ultimately be here. Now, does it end up being the one way that I've heard some theorizing on that I think I could end up being wrong is if football just breaks away from all conferences and conferences become about the other sports and football becomes its own entity.
Hmm.
Right. Blair Kirkhoff has kind of theorized on that you have, you know, eight divisions of all the biggest teams, 80 schools.
Yeah.
Or maybe 40 schools, maybe five in each one, maybe as many as 10 in each one. You win your division, you have wild cards, and it becomes like a big NFL. If that's the case, then I could see the Big 12 making it.
Yeah.
But the Big 12, where all the sports are housed in this league, I think I've always felt has been doomed. So, I think it's just inevitable that these. I don't think anyone thinks 14 is the number that these conferences are going to end on. So if they're going to go add two more to the eight, one or two more, if Notre Dame would go to the ACC, two more to the Big Ten, two more to the SEC, and potentially four more to the Pac-12, where are those schools coming from? That's why, to me, even though nobody liked it and they talked about fewer mouths to feed, the fact that the Big 12 wasn't going out and getting back to 12 or themselves, being the first one to get to 16, well, then you got to divide it up more. Well, you do, but it's at least a chance to grow those other programs and be at the number you need. Strengthen numbers, because if you get cannibalized later,
yeah,
you've at least already started establishing those brands. And if people aren't willing to take less money now in the short run, then they're not about the big picture health of the league. They're just taking the best check that they can get right now. And I think that's what Texas and Oklahoma did on the last TV deal. And now they're looking around and saying, this is not the biggest check long term. We're not getting our fair market value, and we want it. Now, maybe they're checking in with the SEC, and then they're going to go, you know what? Independence in football is really the best way. Our brand, we can get the schedule. I doubt that. Texas has been mentioned with that a lot more than Oklahoma, the independent role. You know, okay, we'll have an affiliation with you guys. We'll do the Notre Dame thing. We'll play six games with you to help fill out our schedule, and we'll get six other marquee games. We won't really factor into your standings, but we'll give you that so you guys can have somewhat of a TV deal. I don't know. I don't know where it's going. I think right now it's just in the discussion stage. And I don't think they necessarily if they have a destination that this is plan A and this is where we want to get, it's the SEC. It is as simple as it looks. They call the SEC because their destination is to get to the SEC. And they're the two programs that are not in the SEC or the ACC, Big Ten, or Pac-12, which seemingly those schools are happy with their homes. They're the two programs that can be had that can bring more money being in there than you will lose by cutting it 16 ways instead of 14 in the league. They're the only two.
Yeah. They'd hop into that group and definitely in the upper tier.
I would offer that Kansas basketball if I think Kansas basketball absolutely brings that kind of swag if you're going to break away from the NCAA tournament and have your own basketball tournament. If you're not going to be a part of the NCAA tournament and you want to keep those revenues, Kansas basketball becomes very important. I think that's the part of the equation that people are talking about. When you heard Booger McFarland talking during the break on the Sports Center, and he said, well, they're going to break away from the NCAA. Well, if they do, they're breaking away from the NCAA tournament. And that means the multiple billions of dollars each year that go to the NCAA will no longer go to the NCAA. And it's how do you just do a basketball tournament amongst the power schools? That, dividing the tournament that way, neither collectively they will not be worth as much money as the tournament is now, but it'd be worth a lot more than they're getting after they share it with all the other smaller conferences, Division II, Division III.
Yeah.
They're not getting that money. That money's still in the hands of the NCAA. And if you are going to do the tournament, then basketball brands become very important. And I think basketball brands are much more important than they're being laid out to be right now. 913-3-810-810. Let's take a break. Let's see Tim Fitzgerald get his thoughts from Go Power Cat on how this plays out. The K-State angle on it. We'll do that next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation, is Mr. Know-It-All.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a hot and steamy July day in Kansas City. The conversation when it comes to the future of the Big 12, hot and steamy as well. We turn to a man who has no shortage of opinions. Tim Fitzgerald joins us here in the program. Tim, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm a bottle of vodka in, and I told Jed I've been angry crying all morning. So I feel like this is a bad breakup, and I don't know how to deal with it.
First of all, do you think that's what it is? It is a breakup. That this is not only, we're not hearing about just some you know, looking arounds. This is the plan, and they're off and running, and nothing's going to stop it.
Well, I am a believer that this is farther down the road than we appreciate, and that this leaked out because A&M is throwing a Hail Mary to try to stop it, and it leaked out through the Houston media. During SEC media days, it seems pretty obvious it was a timed, planted story. But I think barring something drastic changing the course of things, this is a done deal.
All right, I like the police work there on connecting the dots on where it's going. Do we think that? So you think it's further down the road? Do you think it's inevitable?
I don't. First of all, I think there still could be a movement within the SEC to block it, but I think everyone's been told to go along. A&M, if you want to object, that's fine, but this is happening. With probably the unspoken threat, if you really want to push back, we can vote you out, too. You know, they've always really wanted Texas and Oklahoma. They get them, they'll eject someone. They would eject a Missouri in a second. Maybe Texas A&M would take a little more thought, but I don't think Missouri's going to oppose it. I think this is a done deal. I really do. Unless Oklahoma is pulling off the biggest fake out ever and trying to get Texas out of the conference, and then they back out with, you know, someone pulled that theory, and I'm like, I would love that, but I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, and I don't see where that works in the long run for Oklahoma to make more money to have Texas out of the mix. That's the part that doesn't compute there. What if it's just them doing their due diligence to look around? What are the options before they sign on to a new TV deal? Because I know there's 4 years left in the television, the grant of rights agreement and everything, but those deals usually get done in advance of them expiring. And maybe this is just the beginning point for the discussions. Do you think there's any chance this is just OU and Texas taking inventory of what's out there?
Could be, but I also think it caught everyone else in the conference off guard, and they're not too pleased about it. I think if you go back and connect some other dots and the fact that the Big 12 tried to open up negotiations early on their media rights and ESPN said we're not going to do that right now, that would indicate to me that probably ESPN was like, well, your media rights are about to plummet in value, and they might even be going further along here. We plan on killing off the Big 12 in terms of a major media rights deal, and then we only have four major conferences to deal with, and that's how we're going to save money. I wouldn't put it past ESPN at all on that, but that would mean everyone else in the conference has probably got a landing spot in ESPN's mind, whether it's the Pac-12, Big Ten, or ACC. There's enough spots for everyone. I just don't know how you allocate it.
Yeah, and that makes sense. With the Longhorn Network, ESPN is in bed with Texas, so it'd be pretty easy to have those discussions and say, okay, listen, you know, maybe ESPN is the one that's the one that got this jump started by saying, here's how we can monetize it better. Oh, by the way, and along the way, you'll make more money. The Longhorn Network, which we're not really doing well with, goes away. We get more money out of the SEC with you in there, or we have an SEC East and an SEC West, or, you know, with you in that mix, we can pull that. And so let's look at you getting into the SEC. Yeah, I mean, I think that sounds – like, how could ESPN not be involved in these discussions?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're the big driver here. And if you're the other eight schools in the conference, you know you probably can't trust ESPN right now. And you might want to start feeling around to see what interest is out there. CBS is losing the SEC. Do they have interest in something? I wrote a big analysis piece this morning at Go Power Cat that lays out the things the conference needs to do immediately. You know, try to bolster your eight, establish your brand, and make sure you keep it intact. And then five things they probably need to do looking forward, scenarios for survival of these institutions.
We're talking to Tim Fitzgerald, publisher of Go Power Cat. What does the Big 12 do? What does the rest of the Big 12 do if these two schools indeed leave?
You know, the first thing that needs to be addressed is the West Virginia problem, because this only accentuates it. Because the most likely quick addition to the conference, the most value out there short of Notre Dame for an independent school or someone you can get quickly is BYU. And that's someone that Texas has opposed. Texas opposed all expansion, but they really oppose BYU. But if you invite BYU, now you've got two islands. So, you know, you need to decide what you're doing with West Virginia, and maybe you don't play the BYU card. You go to Cincinnati and Central Florida and maybe South Florida and try to build an eastern wing of your conference to try to keep everything unified. And I don't know if that would be the plan of action.
Do they do have to decide whether if they are going to say, okay, we've got to get bigger, we've got to grow our numbers now, we've got to grow our footprint. Obviously, they would seemingly look at Houston and look at SMU. I mean, they're already in Dallas, but Houston would certainly become a prime spot, maybe Memphis. But they got to decide, do they grow east or do they grow west? Is there one direction that's definitively better? I mean, there's, you know, today, yes, there's more population to go east. But is the better play and the one that might have a better chance of staying together for the long haul trying to get the mountain time zone into your mix?
Yeah, I think you can make it a good argument either way. If you go west, you're going to have to just accept that West Virginia is going to have to find a new home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just can't. And a 12-team conference or a 10-team conference, you can't ask them to be going to the Big 12 and further west. I think that's a lot, and I don't think they'll want to do that. That doesn't serve their best interest. But I think an argument can be made that maybe the Big 12's posture is, hey, we're a Power 5 conference. Texas and Oklahoma leaving doesn't change that. If you think so, we'll see you in court. And our answer to this is we're going to invite in a slew of programs that are sitting at the Power 5 level but outside of the room. And I'm talking Cincinnati, Central Florida, BYU, those type of schools, Boise State maybe, and invite them in. And do you have value in being a 16-team super conference spread out over four time zones so that you can provide inventory for TV partners in every possible time slot? I mean, that's something the conference can look at.
Yeah, no doubt. That's interesting as well. We're talking to Tim Fitzgerald, publisher of Go Power Cat here in the program. Could anything have been done to avoid where we sit today if indeed they have their eyes on the SEC? Was there something the other schools, the commissioner, could have done to not be sitting here today?
No, I don't think so. I think the conference showed signs of wanting to expand. If you remember a few years ago, excuse me, the talk at Big 12 Media Days was they had met with the Cincinnati's and the Central Floridas and those schools, and then they ultimately decided not to expand. Well, let's be honest. Texas decided they weren't going to expand, so Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas Tech voted with them to block it. And that's what's been happening. Whatever Texas wants, everyone else has gone along with it. If you're Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, I think that voting block ends today in this 5 o'clock meeting with the conference CEOs, and I'll be surprised if they don't propose the conference exploring expansion right now, even though Oklahoma and Texas are still members.
Do you see any scenario that has, you know, four schools and maybe K-State being one of them, maybe Kansas being one of them, going to the Pac-12? Or do you think that conversation that was had back when, you know, all the shuffling was going on, do you think that there's no life to that anymore?
Well, first, I don't buy into the idea that K-State's going to be left out of the Power Five. I think they're established in that. They've been a member of a major conference for almost 100 years. So I don't accept that that's just going to happen, because the only place the Pac-12 can really expand is into the Big 12, because they're not inviting BYU. They've made religious schools. They're off limits to the Pac-12. I've seen some scenarios where they've got Baylor and TCU going to the Pac-12. I'm like, that might be news of the Pac-12. They have no interest in religious institutions. So I think the Pac-12 is the most likely landing spot for teams such as Tech, Oklahoma State, and Kansas State. Now, Kansas and Iowa State have some other options. They're both of the academic standing to be invited into the Big Ten. Does the Big Ten want Iowa State? I mean, does Iowa want them in there? I think Kansas would certainly get an invite. Or does the Big Ten want to go look at Virginia, North Carolina, and go east? Again, the same idea. Go east where the population is. And at that point, I think the ACC comes into play for Kansas because of basketball. The question is, will the state of Kansas tie KU and K-State together? Works great for K-State. I'm not sure it's in KU's best interest, because they might have some opportunities that wouldn't be the same for Kansas State. And you don't want to blow up KU opportunities just to appease K-State, and they both end up left out of, you know, when all the music stops.
Do you believe, it seems like the popular opinion here today, this maybe wasn't the case tomorrow, but that OU and Oklahoma State, that the idea that they're tied at the hip, that is no longer true?
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the press release from Oklahoma State yesterday was. There was a sense of petty in that statement that I really appreciated. I mean, they're talking about betrayal and all that stuff. I think they're pretty pissed off right now, and I think we're going to see the eight schools react to that, hopefully forcefully, because now it's time to stand up and fight. You are still a Power Five conference, and you can try to invite members in that will continue to establish yourself as that. And I don't know if you could entice an Arizona, Arizona State, a Nebraska, someone else to leave. I mean, if Texas leaves, maybe Nebraska wants to come in. I doubt it. But honestly, there's no one you can add, even if it's Nebraska and BYU, and maybe get Arizona, Arizona State to go to 12th, that would give you the same kind of money you were getting with Texas and Oklahoma. It just doesn't add up. And that's a reality all these schools are going to have to deal with. Life is about to change. Now you have to make the best of it while recognizing it's not going to be the same as it was before.
Will they be better at that, having been through it twice before, or will the, you know, like you said, the pettiness get in the way?
I'd hope they'd be better, but so far the Big 12 has appeared to be same in terms of leadership and being inactive. And, you know, Bob Bowlesby's statement down at Big 12 Media Days either shows a guy that was really taking a bullet for Texas and lying at the podium because he knew what was going on, or he was standing at the podium completely oblivious to what was going on in his backyard. And both of those seem fireable to me if you're the other eight institutions.
To stand at a podium and state that realignment isn't likely because the cable world is diminished was incredibly tone deaf. It's time for the Big 12 to hire a wartime commissioner and get proactive. That was your tweet yesterday. That would seem to make me think that you think Bob Bowlesby was maybe asleep at the wheel while this was going on?
I do. I've got a buddy that lives in Austin that swears he had to know about this. And I'm like, well, then he was doing the bidding of Texas and not the Big 12. That's bad. But I was at that press conference. I watched him talking about it. That man had realignment and expansion nowhere on his radar. Either that or he's a master liar, because he was totally oblivious to any of this going on. He really thought we'd go through the next round of media rights with everyone staying put. And I'm like, people are coming after Texas and Oklahoma. How do you not know that? They're valuable. And he got caught I think he got caught sleeping at the wheel.
That's interesting. That's the hard part for me, is to think that they could be that far down the road before anybody got word.
Yeah, I suspect, again, going back to A&M, that this was at the very highest levels and didn't include leadership of the SEC at the athletic director level, and they found out at Media Days that this was going on and A&M pushed back.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It just seems to me that, you know, somebody, like, how many people you got to call, right? Like, how many people can you keep something quiet? I mean, I don't think you can have more than five people involved. You get a sixth person, and I think there's no way anybody keeps anything to themselves.
I agree. I think this leaked as soon as the bubble was expanded, other than being very tight circle between. It sounds like this was happening at the Board of Regents level, which I find just astonishing.
What would be K-State's dream scenario if they do leave?
Probably that the Big 12 stays together, you know, these eight teams, and maybe there's some expansion and the money gets to close as possible as you can, but it won't. I mean, it just won't. There's no way. Texas carries so much value in the eyes of the TV entities. You can't match that with anyone short of Notre Dame, and they're not touching the Big 12. So it's, I've approached this the same way I approach life, Saran. Stuff happens. It's not expected. You get knocked off your rails, and you got to figure a way to keep going forward. I see a lot of people, like, just throwing their hands up. Well, it's all over. There's never going to be the same. You got to make the best of whatever you're facing, and that's where the conference is at right now. They need to get very proactive and assertive, and that has been out of character for this conference.
Yeah, I do like what you're saying. I mean, the one thing we can count on is change, right? Change is going to come. And I like your point. You're not always going to see it, but you don't get to just quit and walk away. Let's open. And what I think would be not exciting, because losing the money sucks, right? There's no way around that.
Right.
But right now it's a blank canvas, right? You literally, like we said, you can talk about going all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. You can talk about at least going all the way through the Rockies. But with San Diego State, you can talk about going all the way to the Pacific Ocean if you're talking about Mountain West schools. I mean, everything is on the table, and you would be in the driver's seat for the first time ever. Schools like K-State, Iowa State, Kansas, instead of having to react and like you said, just bow to Texas's whims and wishes, they would be the stronger entity and would be able to hopefully, you know, construct what is the best for them over the next 20 years moving forward, or however long these TV deals are getting longer and longer. So however long the next TV deal is, they can construct what's best for them. And while it is diminished revenue, you're no longer having to, you know, do everything based upon what's best for Texas and secondarily Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think the upside, the downside is obviously the money, the prestige. Some of that steps back. But you've been kind of locked into an unhealthy, abusive relationship with Texas. They smile at you, but they make sure you know they're in control. They veto everything you might want to do, and they made it very clear. And I'm almost to the point now where I'm looking at this. Well, Texas vetoed the expansion to 12 because they knew they could get outvoted at that point. And so this is exactly what they wanted. They wanted these eight other schools to be very subservient to them. And now that I think that might end at 5 p.m. today.
Wow. Wow. So you think that could be, we could get an announcement that they're out and they're gone, because we're not going to wait around and let it just be a slow burn. We're going to get proactive and we're going to send them out and keep their TV, you know, revenue.
Yeah, I think the conference can say, hey, we're going to start working on expansion, whether that's just two schools right now to get to 12 with Oklahoma and Texas, or we're going to, you know, explore what happens if they do leave and have others online. I think right now I would, if I was the CEOs of the eight other schools, I would vote to invite Cincinnati and BYU and just look at Texas to see what they do. Because they won't be happy, because it's not a done deal to the SEC, and they might be in a conference now where they're going to be outvoted.
We're talking to Tim Fitzgerald. He is the publisher of Go Power Cat. He's got a great breakdown of what has happened to this point, what is potentially on the horizon. You can check it out at Go Power Cat. Tim, time for our final four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Four quickies. I will start you with this. How long is Bruce Weber, the basketball coach?
I think one more season. I do, and here's the issue is I think next year's K-State team will be better, but the Big 12 got a lot better in other areas. I think Texas is going to be a monster. They're just going to have a problem competing with a really, really good Big 12 conference next year.
How long for Chris Klieman?
Well, this is a huge year. I think he's going to get his five seasons, but I see a lot of people predicting 3, 4, maybe 5 wins. I'm in the 7-8 category, and that's a big difference there. He's got to get into a bowl game to start getting some momentum. They need to establish program momentum that was stopped by the pandemic season.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. All right, K-State's record this year will be what?
I've got them at 8-4, but that's pretty optimistic, I admit. I think they will be at least 7-5. I think this is going to be a pretty good K-State team, and for some reason, a lot of people are sleeping on the fact that they're returning a six-year quarterback that they didn't have available when they went into their season-ending skid last year.
Yeah, no, I agree. That is a big piece to the puzzle right here. We'll see how disjointed the practices and games were. The chaos that had to be dealt with was maybe dealt with as well as anybody could by Chris Klieman, because we know there were guys playing spots they hadn't played until 2 days before the game and winning those games, he had some moments last year, for sure. He can coach.
Yeah.
All right, 5 years from now, Kansas State is a member of a conference called what?
A Big 12. I think even if they go to 16 and they own the rights to the Big 16, they own that trademark, I think they'll stick with the Big 12 brand because it sends a message. The conference didn't go anywhere. We're still Power 5. Good luck removing that status from us.
Yeah, I'm with you. Tim, always great talking to you, buddy. Appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk again soon.
No problem, sir. And thank you, bud.
You bet. Tim Fitzgerald does great work covering the K-State Athletics and the Big 12 in general at Go Power Cat. He is the publisher, and we thank him for his time. We will take a break, come back, react to some of the things Tim had to say. Coming up, Stump the Chumps in the 3 o'clock hour. So be getting your questions. Great Cajun food from Jazz will be available in the 3 o'clock hour when Peter Yates Enoch joins us.
The Program with Soren Petro.
You ever quote anything besides statistics, Vulcan?
Yes, but philosophy and poetry are not appropriate here.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up the first hour. Again, our thanks to Tim Fitzgerald. I like his theory on how it got out there. Mm-hmm. SEC Media Days, A&M, not happy. All right, I'm going to float this. Let's get this out there. Let's not let them work under the cover of darkness. Let's shine a light on what's going on. And I can see them not being happy. I agree with that. And I also think that, you know, this is an opportunity for the schools that are left in the Big 12. And I tend to agree with, we'll get to this maybe in our bold and daring predictions coming up next hour, but I tend to agree with Tim that, you know, there's opportunity here, right? You're going to lose money. Okay, we got it. But now you get a chance to go out and put together a league that fits you best, whether that's going east or west or east and west, and with a lot of travel, just putting together the best football brands you can. I think Tim's most important words, it doesn't mean it's over, right? There's no quitting. It's just what you do next. I thought that was great stuff from Tim Fitzgerald.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Shell. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, Mike Sweeney is 48 today. Hit 100 career home runs at Kauffman Stadium. Who did he hit his last one off of? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.